We turn this evening to Psalm 36, verse 9, that the Lord would speak his light into us, shine his light upon us, be gracious unto us. For it's only in his light that we have any light at all, and it's only by his light that we get more enlightened by it. I'm turning to this psalm tonight. As I mentioned, I had a plan after our men's study of what I really wanted to preach on this morning. I was really struck by the fact that Christ's voice raises the dead, all the dead. And had some thoughts about this evening's sermon and decided it needed to go a different direction. I was rolling around last night praying to the Lord, what do you want me to preach on? A lot of times it comes easy to me. It didn't come easy to me this time. And I just kept asking him, I don't want to just pick something. Please, Lord, guide me with what you want me to preach on. And this kept coming back to me. I had a few thoughts, but this kept coming back to me. So I prayed that the Lord shed light on the situation and gave light to what he wants me to preach to you tonight. And so I pray that he will enlighten your and my hearts with it. Let's turn to it now. Psalm 36, verse 9. And I'm only really preaching mainly on the second part of the verse, but let me read the whole. Hear now the word of God. Let it enlighten your souls and your lives. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Let me read it again. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. And the second part is what we're really focusing on. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. I'm hearkening back to the study we began with Dr. Sproul. Thank you, Elder Maxwell, for getting an excellent series for us from Dust to Glory. And Dr. Sproul went to Genesis chapter 1, just the first three verses. And I couldn't help but think about verse 1 as he emphasized what we learned there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I remember the sermon when we started in Genesis a while back now together, I guess maybe at least six, maybe closer to 7 years ago, and I started preaching in Genesis. Now we're in Numbers, although there's been many delays, and way back Genesis 1 verse 1, the message for you was go to the source. Go to the source. What is the source for us to know everything? What is the source of our understanding of everything in life? The Bible. Go to the source. In the beginning, God created. And then Genesis continues to tell us by these groupings of topics, these are the generations of. And then it tells us many different things we need to know to understand life, to understand the source of different things. So we go to the source. We go to the Bible to know everything, to have true understanding, to be enlightened about what we're doing here. Why are we here? What is life about? How do we live a good life? How do we have a good afterlife? Go to the source, the Bible. Go to the source, God's word, he tells us. Go to the source, God himself, as he reveals himself and all we need to know for ourselves in his word. You go to the Bible, even just Genesis, the first 11 chapters, you go there for epistemology. That is, how do we know anything? How do we know that we know? You go for anthropology. What is man? How do we understand man? Why is he the way he is? Why is there evil? Why is there a broken world? Genesis, the fall. We go to the Bible in early Genesis to learn about soteriology. That is salvation. How can we be saved from this predicament? Genesis 3:15. And then the scriptures continue to spell that out. But especially if you summarize it all, why do we go to the Bible? It is the source of what? In whatever topic of study, what is it the ultimate source of? Light. Light. Remember how Dr. Sproul this morning talked about the darkness and the world was without form and how that is a frightening idea. Light comes into that and brings things to it, including life. Light, the light brings the life, the growth of everything. In all areas of life, We come to the source, which is the light. That's essentially what our scripture teaches us in the second part. The source of all light is God. And you and I need to be reminded of that. The source of all light is God. All wisdom, all knowledge, all morality, the answer to all problems is the light of God. He created all this. He's redeeming all this. He's got a plan for the end of all this. He spoke it into being. He'll speak the resurrection of the dead. He speaks light. Let us turn to it. The source of all light is God, the scripture teaches us tonight. Think about a light bulb. The light bulb will not glow if there is no electrical flow. Oh, you might say, well, sure, Pastor, but sometimes the problem is the light bulb. Yeah, that's pretty much the rest of the sermon. But it might not be screwed in right. It might be busted. It might need a new, better filament. But, you know, there's actually been meaning to ask about this for help with the diaconate, so I guess I'll swing this in here. In the garage of the manse, I don't know why, but the light won't turn on. There's other lights, but the switch inside the kitchen that turns the light on in the garage, a couple months ago, the light stopped working. Oh, I need to replace the light bulb. I think I'm Mr. Handyman here, Tim the Tool Man. Oh, switch the light bulb. Switch the light switch. Don't. And if I jiggle this light bulb, sometimes I can sort of kind of get it to glow for a minute. So the problem is not the light bulb, you see. The problem is getting to the source of the electricity for the light bulb. We need to get the electrical flow if the light bulb is going to glow. Without the electrical flow, there's no glow. Can't happen. Impossible. So in verse 9 here of Psalm 36, we're told that it is with you that I have the fountain of life. He is the source of the living waters, the Holy Spirit. He is the source of the water of life. We learn in Revelation, we will wade in the river of life. He's the source. Where does the river of life flow from in the book of Revelation? It flows from the throne of God. It flows from the Lamb of God there. And of course, the river is representing what? The Holy Spirit. By the way, a little nugget here. There's a graphic teaching of the doctrine of filioque. The Holy Spirit proceeds both from the Father and from the Son. That's from some teaching on Revelation when we were there in the past, worth repeating. I thought that was an excellent insight that I can't recall quite the author's name or I'd share it with you. But the river of life, the Holy Spirit, flows from the throne of God and Christ the Lamb. We drink of the river of life, Psalm 1. If we're next to the river of life and drinking on it, we'll be green. We'll have green leaves. We won't wither. We won't be like the dust of this world that in the end has nothing left. It's all burnt out. But what we're focusing on tonight is it's with you that we have the fountain of life, and it's in you, in your light, that is, in your light that we see light. We can't even see light. We can't even see His light if He doesn't enlighten us. We only have light from God, you see. We have no light without God. We only see His light when He enlightens us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1, verse 17. So we see that God the Father is the source of all gifts. He's the Father of lights. The word here shines and shows us this, that if we want blessings, we need to recognize where the blessings come from. How often is chance or luck given credit? When the reality is everything is given to us from God. And any insights we have, any ability to think clearly and recognize reality as the light of God. Don't you find yourselves praying for someone saying, Lord God, please show them the truth. Please enlighten them. Please help them to see. Only God can do that because only He is our light. Only He is the Father of lights. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. God is the source of light, and the way He lets it flow into our lives, by the Spirit we'll see again, but it's mainly He uses means, the Word. It's the entrance of His words into our lives that gives light. So if we aren't opening ourselves regularly to His Word, not just reading and thinking about it briefly, but meditating on it, eating it, and doing it, then there's no light in our lives, or a very dim light. Because we're not opening ourselves to the entrance of His words to be our light. And we make our words our light. Our words are mostly darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105, we're very familiar with. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Beloved, can you look over your life this week and your walk this week? How often did you walk in the light as Christ is in the light? Can you look and see that you were holding out the lamp of the Word of God before you? That it was a light shining your way along the narrow way that you stayed upon it? Let's make His Word shine more in front of us and follow its guidance. Because it's the entrance of His light into our heart that gives us light. And it's the following of that word before us that keeps us in the light, keeps us guided by God's light. And without His light, there's just dangerous darkness. R.C. Sproul, do you remember what he said this morning? I thought it was pretty powerful. He said that darkness is not the presence of something. Darkness is not the presence of something. It is the absence of light. Just stop and think about that. If you turn the light off, it's not that you've added anything, you've taken it away. Darkness is not the presence of something, it is the absence of light. So if we've been stumbling around in the darkness this week, the answer is we've not been turning the light open into our hearts. And we've not been following the light. We say we do, but if we honestly look at ourselves, we often don't. May God shed light upon that for us tonight. That we'd walk in newness of life and walk in the light as He is in the light this week. You see, the absence of God's light is our darkness. The absence of God's light is our darkness. Anything that you and I have done wrong this week, stumbling in darkness, is an absence of God's light because we didn't turn to it enough. The absence of God's light is our darkness. In our hearts and in our minds, seen in our eyes and in our actions. Don't you notice when the word of God is disappearing or not being heard, the eyes change? We only need to look in the mirror of ourselves to see that. The eyes change. And then there's this dark cloud that starts to hover around us, and no light can penetrate in because the word of God is not there. Our words are there. John 1 verse 4 says that Jesus is the life. In Him, that is Jesus, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. However, verses 9 to 12 say this of John chapter 1, that Jesus, that light, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, stop for a moment. Isn't that scary? That should frighten us. He came to his own people, the people that were given his word, stewards of his word. And when he came, they did not recognize John the Baptist to be the true prophet in the spirit of Elijah, announcing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." They did not recognize that Jesus was the word and the way. He was the Messiah. He was the light that came into their midst, and they didn't see him standing before his face, speaking in their ears. They didn't see him. They didn't hear him. They didn't know him. They didn't receive him. You see, the danger can be that Jesus and his word can be right in front of you, and you can be blind to him. But, John goes on to say, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He sheds the light into some souls, and they believe. And notice, it's he who is doing that. As many as received him, he gave power to be called the sons of God. And so that relates to the work of the Holy Spirit. We need the light of God, the Father of lights. We need the light of his word. And we need Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we need the Holy Spirit, who sheds light on all of this. And without him, we see nothing. Even if these things are God's light, we'll never see it. If God doesn't shine his light in our hearts, if he doesn't turn on the light bulb in our hearts, that we can see what's right there before us, but our dark hearts won't let in. Regeneration. The Holy Spirit enlightens the minds of his elect to believe the Bible and to trust in Christ for salvation and to keep trusting Christ for sanctification. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us. Not grieve the Holy Spirit. Not quench the Holy Spirit, and expect to have much light. Psalm 23, when I did that series for you a few years ago, four-part series about our Good Shepherd, one of the commentators who was a shepherd, as other commentators, who was a literal shepherd and then a spiritual shepherd, a pastor, he said, "In my work as a minister, I have come to the conclusion that it would be better not to read the Word of God at all if you don't pray first. It would be better not even to preach the Word of God if you don't pray first. Because if we approach the Word of God without prayer, sincere prayer, humble prayer, dependent prayer, not defiant prayer, but please show me your light, Lord. I know I have dark shadows. Expose them. Glow in me. Show me things I need to know, not only about your word, but about myself. Show me these things." If we don't pray and ask God to do that for us by the Holy Spirit, we should not expect to see much light in the light of his word. I think he's right. If I consider my own life, the way I approach the word, if I don't stop and pray first, I'm trying to read in my own strength. This afternoon, getting back from door-to-door evangelism, I was running late. I was nervous. I had done a lot of work this morning, but I didn't feel like I could really do it, and I just started to get busy, and I said, "Forgive me, Lord. I need to pray again. I ask for you to do this for me. I ask for you to feed your sheep because I love you. I ask for you to help me not be afraid and not to think you won't be there for me." And I spent extra time in prayer tonight because I knew I needed it before I came out to the pulpit. And I was on my knees. And I was praying, "Lord, I can't do this tonight. I am really weak tonight. I don't even know if this is going to be any good. I ask you to shine your light through your word to your people. And please shine your light through me as I try to do what I can." And that's how we have to approach the word of God if we want to have any light with it. We can't just approach it in our own strength and in our own power and expect to get any real light out of it. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten your eyes with God's word, that you would have its light, his light. You won't have any light without his Spirit giving you light, to have his light of the word. Pray as I do before I almost always even begin to work on the sermons for you. I know I've shared this with you before, but I want to remind myself to keep doing it. And I want to remind you to keep doing it. I haven't lately because I've been busy and in different situations than usual for proper sermon preparation, but usually I lay on my face and my belly. I fall prostrate before the Lord, and I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I'm trying to tell you, I'm so unholy. I so need God's help that I don't want to start even translating the Hebrew or the Greek. I don't want to even try to figure out what this is saying until I beg him with these words. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I would behold wondrous things out of thy law. What's the implication? If you don't open my eyes, I won't get anything out of it. What did we see in our reading of Psalm 119 tonight? Verse 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Complete dependence on God is the idea. Any light we have is derived from God's light. And we have to ask him to shine his light in our study of his word, that we would really actually believe and do it and benefit from its light, that it would really become a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that we really would hide that light in our heart and expose the darkness, that we would not sin against him, as the Psalms say. Really pray for light, you see. Jesus says of himself again, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Turn to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and follow him, and you'll have the light of life, not only light of eternal life, but the light of an abundant life here, a spiritual life, a peaceful life. If there is a lack of that, there is a lack of our turning to follow the light, Jesus Christ. There is a lack of our turning to his word. He is the word. And there's a lack of our turning to his word and asking for the Spirit to enlighten us with it. These are all things that take time. And we can crowd out that time and wonder why there's not enough light. Follow him who is the light of the world and have the light of life. And as he helps us do that, he will help us be that unto the world. He says in Matthew 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. In the Gospel of John, he says, in me, ye are the light of the world. I will shine my light through you. You will be my light bulbs in this dark world. But you've got to be following me to have my light. And as you have it, I will make you the light of the world. I will shine myself through you until I return. That ought to be our hope. That's what Paul calls on us to be in Philippians 2, verse 15, where he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, we haven't been back to the book of Numbers in a while, but what's one of the big problems in the book of Numbers? All they want to do is murmur against God and against his ministers. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Okay, we are to be the lights of the world. We are to be shining in the backdrop of the darkness of this world. We are to have Christ shining in us, His light shining in us. How does He say to do that in this verse? Interesting. Stop fighting all the time. Stop bickering all the time. Stop complaining all the time. You see that? Do all things without murmurings. That brings darkness. That's from darkness. Do all things without disputing. That brings darkness, not light, to the situation. That will make you blameless. You don't want to be rebuked? Stop fighting. That's what he says here, without rebuke. You don't want to be rebuked? You don't want to rebuke others? Then stop fighting, stop complaining. Because we're in the midst of a crooked generation and perverse nation. That's all they do. So let's not be like them. Let's not be conformed to this world. Let us be renewed by the transforming of our mind. Let Christ's light shine in our eyes and in our hearts and out of our body against this black backdrop of the world that fights and fights and complains and murmurs. Let us shine as lights in the world, as the moon reflects the light of the sun. So we should reflect the Son of God. The moon has no light of itself. It reflects the sun. But be careful. Be careful not to have a lunar eclipse. Recall what a lunar eclipse is? It's when the earth or the world gets right in front of the moon. Or you could say, really, I guess the moon ends up right behind the earth. But the world gets in the way. The earth gets in the way of the light of the sun, and the moon has no light. Oh, I understand there's a glow. Usually you can look at it and see something. But essentially, there's an eclipse. Essentially, the moon becomes eclipsed in a shadow. The light is eclipsed from the sun because the earth gets in the way of it. It blocks the light. It dims the light. It denies the moon its ability to shine its light, the light of the sun. The earth's shadow blocks the sun's light. Don't let the world, and don't let your world, get in the way of the words of God's word. Don't let the world and your world block the light of God from you. Because when there's a lack of light, that's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. We deny ourselves the source of light, and then we don't reflect it. We let the world get in the way. We let our world get in the way. You see, maybe not reading the Bible, because we let the cares of this world, as Jesus speaks of the seed of God's word, we let the cares of this world choke it up. Uproot it. We don't read it, or we're not listening when we do read it, or we're not listening when it's read to us by someone else, or we're not listening to it when it's preached to us. Not really. And so the light does not penetrate. And so we don't really have any light, except what we think is light. Our own emotions, our own feelings, our own opinions, our own circumstances, which is darkness. It eclipses God's light. And all it does is bring darkness all around us. And we're too busy scattering about and tripping in the darkness to turn to the light. To shed light on the situation, or if it's brought to us, we don't really want to hear it. We don't have time for it because our world is in the way. We refuse to be enlightened by God's word as we eclipse its light and we don't shine. Not walking in Christ's light, not walking in the narrow way, but in our own way. The broad way. We block out his voice from our ears to our soul by the Holy Spirit. We quench it. We grieve him. And then we don't have his fruit. And if we do, it's half rotten, small, never ripe, never tasty. No one picks it because it isn't much to look at. We block out the Spirit and we don't have the Spirit enlightening us. We block out his cry in us and we don't therefore cry to God to give us light. And we have less light. When we do not fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the light of the world, we get in the way and we block out the Son of Righteousness who has healing in his wings to give us. But we're not healed. Because we don't fix our eyes on him. We fix our eyes on ourselves. And our hearts and our eyes can be so darkened when we don't see the need for new light. We've got to hear the light of the word as Jeremiah gives it to us. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10. The heart, that is the human heart, is deceitful. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. God needs to expose it. See, he says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not even ourselves. I, the Lord, search the heart. I send a searchlight out in your heart to show you the reality of your heart. Always in need to be exposed. Always in need to be cleaned. Always in need to be better than it is. By God's light and not our false night light that we pretend is enough. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Beloved, are you willing to let that light shine upon your heart right now? That your heart deceives you. And you need the Lord to shine his light in it, that you see the truth. Because already, if our hearts are deceitful, it wants to quench at that. It wants to flinch at that. It wants to lie to you and say, that's the other guy in the pew. That's the other girl in the pew. That's not me. I don't lie. Well, just read the Sermon on the Mount to know Jesus says, yes, you do all the time. We break all the commandments all the time because we are natural born liars. We are natural born killers. We are natural born adulterers. And we lie to ourselves about it. We minimize, we equivocate. Instead of fall prostrate before the Lord and beat our breasts and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Expose me. Expose my dark heart. Bring more light into my heart, into my eyes. Or as you could say it in the end of Psalm 139. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitfully wicked. And God says he has to search our heart to expose it. And if we're listening to him and hearing his light, and he's really shedding his light in our heart, then our prayer should be in response, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. There the psalmist acknowledges, surely I have a deceitful heart. Surely I need God to search it and show me things. expose things in me. I agree with God's word. I have a deceitful heart. And where we lie first, of course, is we lie to ourselves. Shed your light in my eyes, O God Almighty. Fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is the light of the world. Shed light into my dark soul through my dark eyes, that they would shine with the light of Christ, and not my pride. For the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is sincere, pure, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Also in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He says, be sincere. Be sincere with God's word as you look at yourself with it. Stop being the scribes and Pharisees. That's the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Stop being the scribes and Pharisees who make their own rules, which are less than God's word, and excuse themselves as being perfect of it. Stop being hypocrites. Stop looking at others and look at yourself. That's to be sincere with your eye. That's to let the word of God, the light of God, come into your eyes, that your whole body would be lit with the light of Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let the Son of God and the Son of Man, the light of the world, shine in your eyes, in your world. And make you the light of the world. Even when it might seem too bright and even blinding at first. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, again, the source of light is Christ, and he'll give you light. How? By reproving you, by manifesting your darkness. We don't like it when the light of God's word exposes our sins. But that's the purpose of it. We always need to grow. We always need to learn. We always need more light. If you and I really need any help being persuaded of that, let's just consider the last week. We always need more light, the grace of God's light. Let me read that again. Maybe it seems too bright. I want to run out of the room. Well, that's what a cockroach does. That's what a cockroach does. I don't know if you recall, but I did a pastor's post in e-devotion, and then a pastor's post turned into on our website on this scripture, Ephesians 5, 13 to 14, verse 18. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And the message, the title of that devotion was Of Cockroaches and Christians. And we studied a little bit about cockroaches. You know why when you turn the light on, you ever seen when they scurry about, they want to get out there fast as they can? They have this process with the way they process light that it just makes them hate it. They got to get out of it. They do not like the light. And of course, they are filthy creatures. When the light exposes the darkness, when the light is turned on in a room and there are little cockroaches there, they run away. They look for the shadows as fast as possible. But the whole purpose of God's light is to expose those cockroaches so that we crush them and we kill them. And if he will shed his light in us, then we will have the light to see the truth in us, to grow and have Christ's light in us, to turn more to his word, to more to the people of the light, to turn more to Christ, who's the light of the world, to turn more to the Father of heavenly lights, to turn more to the Holy Spirit asking to give us more light. Because the light manifests the darkness and exposes our sins, that we would get rid of them, not run to the shadows, to hold on to them. Do you need more light, beloved? I'm glad to see you nodding. You should all be nodding. Do you need more light? Well, then the question is, how do you get it? How do you get more light? Well, let's review. You could open the drapes, if we think literally. You could turn up the light dial. Sometimes we have a circle dial that can turn it up, right? You could turn the switch on. You can turn on more lights than are already turned on in the room. Many things that can add to the light. Do you need more of God's light? He's the source of all light. Open your Bibles before your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your eyes as you expose yourself to the Word, that you would have his light to see his light and be transformed out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ask Jesus, the light of the world, to be brighter in your hearts. Ask him to shine as the image of Revelation 1 in your eyes. For you have no light of your own. You have no light of your own. In thy light shall we see light. Beloved, you have no light of your own. Turn to the light to be enlightened. And that is the message for you this evening. Turn to the light to be enlightened. And watch what happens to your lives. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we confess that we turn to the darkness. We are like little cockroaches so often, running with our sins, hiding with our sinful attitudes, wanting to cling to things as if it is light when it is darkness. Lord, we pray that you would indeed bless us with your word to humble ourselves, that you would lift us up with the grace of more light. Lord, that you would expose our sins, that you would search our hearts and try us, show us our deceitful hearts and any sins in us we don't want to deal with. Expose with the light, manifest with your light, that Christ Jesus would give us more light. Here you have shed your light of your word before us. May it have reached our dark hearts, always in need of more light. Always closing the drapes to your light. May you give us a single eye of light that the whole body would be full of it. O Lord, may you bless us with your Bible. Holy Spirit, may you open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law, that we would see your light for what it is. And let it be what it is, our light. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would shine brighter in our hearts, that you would glow more throughout our face as we give ourselves to you, as we follow your example, as we just read in your word tonight in 1 Peter 4, mindful of what has come before, that we would suffer like Jesus, that we would submit and suffer like Jesus. We confess we have no light of our own. You are our light. We pray you would give more light. that we would do good with the light we have, that we would shine brighter and indeed shine as lights in this dark world and be the light of the world as you shine through us, through these means of grace that you have ordained and commanded. Lord, as you do shine the light, help us to learn to adjust to it. We confess that often we'll need some help and time to be able to adjust to it. We're used to the darkness. Oh Lord, help us to adjust that your light would sparkle in our eyes, through our bodies, to one another, and in this world, all for your glory, all that your name would be sparkling among the world, all that your reputation would have a proper holy light shed upon it, and that you would draw all people to yourself. Thank you for drawing us by your light. Draw us closer still, we pray. Illumine us. Illuminate us. Enlighten us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and that we would reflect presence and time with you as his face glowed with glory in the Mount of Transfiguration. We pray that our time with you tonight would be like Moses as we would walk out of the tent, as it were, that your glow would be on our faces for time with you who are the light. That we would be like the moon reflecting the Son of God for having real time in and with the light. And so we pray as you taught us to pray in your word, which is the light, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,